Hey everyone, today I've got a conversation with the CEO of YPO, Scott Mordell, and we're going to discuss every good career path is accidental, what the mindset of a leader is like, and finally, the challenges of transition. Remember, I'm hosting a free live training every Friday, and I want you to be a part of it. So text me at 949-298-2905. That's 949-298-2905. 2905, so I can send you the invite.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
This is Dave Meltzer with the very first non-live Entrepreneurs the Playbook. And I, to set it off right, have an extraordinary guest, Scott Mordell. He's the CEO of YPO. And if you're not familiar with YPO, I'm going to let Scott share how extraordinary of an organization it is in 130 countries. I think 28,000 professionals that are in the organization worldwide, and his experience and exposure to key executives and how they think and what they should do and how we can all innovate and be better and happier. That's why I had him on, especially during this time. Welcome, Scott, to the Playbook.
Thank you, David. It's really great to be here with you today.
Well, let's start with just giving a little bit of background of your playbook to success, of how you end up to be the CEO of YPO, because I'm sure that wasn't in your kind of doctor, lawyer, failure playbook with your siblings.
That's absolutely true. Like every good career path, David, it's accidental as it would go. So as I was going through my life, I've really just had a point of view that it's all about people. Organizations are made up of people. Economies are made of people. Countries are made of people. My family, as near as I can tell, is made up of people. So in that sense, being insightful about common cause, about what it takes to get things done, is really, really what makes us all go through life. I've been fortunate. I've had good mentors all the way along. I've had great opportunities, and I've kept saying yes to different opportunities that lead to new opportunities. So I started out in horse racing and public accounting, and then from there went into manufacturing, and then did a little bit of service work in terms of service organizations, and somehow end up, that was all for profit, and somehow end up here with YPO, as people sometimes say, the leader of leaders. I don't know about that. I work for all the leaders in my role. So in that sense, this is such a great place because we have 29,000 amazing members, and they're spread all around the world. And the interesting thing about YPO members is they've achieved their CEO status really faster than average, typically on by rule before the age of 45. And these are people who are optimistic about life. They have a why not kind of attitude when they're trying to do new things. And there's a lot of energy and spirit. And so as a result, that energy kind of rises all of us in a way of inspiring each other to do more. So it's an honor for me to be part of it, and just really great to represent them as well as I can wherever I go.
It's interesting because you have so much exposure to CEOs and professionals. I would really like to get into the mindset, because they are overachievers. It's one thing to be a successful professional and CEO, but it's another to do it at a younger age. Can you share with us some of the consistent mindset that you see? You name one of them, you know, they're kind of the try me type of people or whatever, but I'm sure there's some other consistencies that entrepreneurs listening in and people listening in would love to learn. You know, what are the commonalities? You're kind of the Napoleon Hill of CEOs.
Well, first of all, one common theme when you do get there is it is lonely at the top. When you're leading the organization, there's always somebody who wants you to hire their kid. There's always somebody who's got something they want to sell to you. There's somebody who, there's always just an angle in terms of what some of the engagement is. And when we can engage with people that kind of get it, that can look at the world through understanding and a compassionate lens, it ends up making life a little bit more fuller. But into that mindset of the leader, sometimes they come from negative places, is what some people would say. There's a fear of failure. Okay, that if I'm doing something, I just don't want to get tagged for not being able to do it. Okay. And then there's also in some, and certainly I would say I had this too, there's a bit of an imposter syndrome that we have some success. And then once we begin to have some success and we look around at other people that had some success, we're saying, wow, she's a lot better at this stuff than I am. Maybe my success was really a little bit more lucky than me doing it. And The fact is, David, is that, of course, we all have some luck. None of us are really self-made. We all have help along the way. But you have people who are driven by opportunity, yes, but often just saying, I don't want to mess up my opportunity, and it drives me. I become obsessive about making sure I'm not a failure. And then when there's a little bit of success, you start to really feel that a lot of people are relying upon you. And then there's that sense of burden that really drives even a stronger sense of, hey, we can't fail at this. I've got people depending on how to eat, and I've got people depending on us, and my family's depending on me. I've really got to drive this. And so when we get that kind of energy, and people can point themselves forward to something that they care about, and usually every entrepreneur has a cause in their mind. And that really, the two go together, the positive plus a little bit of the anxious fear. You put the two together and you got a winner for a successful person if they keep working it out.
Do you see within executives, which is greater, the need to provide value and service? I know, I wrote a book called Compassionate Capitalism, and it mm-hmm. might as well have been written about you as a servant leader. I looked, through your bio and your career, you and I share that compassion about being of service and of value. But which do you think drives them more as a CEO, that side of it, or the radical humility side of asking for help and asking for value from others?
That's such a great question. And I don't know that it's one or the other. I almost see it very much as a continuum in a lot of cases, David. So you may start out by saying, well, geez, I got to eat. I got to start doing something. But then as one goes and we begin to feed the energy, I think the cause and the sense of impact of what I could build or what we could build becomes very powerful. And so I see them as both attributes that necessarily need to be there, but I've just observed them changing over time. That the 22-year-old Scott Mordell was motivated quite a bit differently than the 57-year-old Scott Mordell. And so I think that there's a continuum that I observe and just see, not just among our memberships, but really others as well.
And one of the things about being a young success, as I have seen within athletes and being a young CEO myself, and we joke about when that first job is over as an athlete, athletes, they suffer two deaths, one when they quit playing, and then, of course, their normal one. I see young CEOs, when they lose their first job, they're almost like an athlete. There's this paralysis of, oh, my gosh, what do I do now? Where do those challenges of transition? Because I think today, especially, a lot of people are going to be looking at transitioning from where they are to a new place. What are some of the challenges that face a CEO at a young age if they now find themselves, even in a positive situation where they're bought out or have an exit, what do I do next?
Oh, it's such a perpetual question, right? Because when you're living and when you're all in into your career role and the cause, and you end up having that exit or you have that transition that needs to happen, most folks look back and say, I was so into that, I wasn't really tending my own garden, if you will. I don't know who I am. I don't know what I want. I don't know where to go spend my energy. And I personally counsel people. I said, you need to figure out really clearly who you are and what's going to move you before you just jump into the next thing. And so that it could be midlife, it could be post-exit, it could be first failure, and I didn't think I was going to fail at anything. Now I got to figure something else out. It's a transition for everybody. So when you're in that transition, it's a really good time to realign with who am I, what really makes me go, okay, and where's my energy going to give me the most energy back? Because that's probably the right place to go.
I work with as an executive coach around the world, and I was trained by a guy named Marshall Goldsmith, one of the, mm-hmm. I think, top executive coaches in the world. Mm-hmm. One of the issues, you have over 29,000 members. You're in over 130 countries. One of the common things, and I know everybody wants to know about, is how do we balance our families? You don't get to be a CEO or NYPO by accident. And I say you have to make a great investment in yourself. And sometimes other things in our lives suffer, and it becomes a greater and bigger issue as we get older and older. How do you mentor or suggest, that balance in order to be successful? You have all these responsibilities on one side, but you lose sight of what's important on the other.
Yeah, it's really hard. And the one conversation I try to avoid when this question comes up is this idea of work-life balance, because it implies it's supposed to happen every day. Okay, and I think that there's energy, there's yin and yang in the way that you live your life, and you need to be more career than something else, or maybe somebody in your family is sick and they really need your time and attention right now, and maybe something else has to go a little to the side. It's having your life and mindset integrated enough to kind of know what's most important for you at a point in time. And so we all fall out of balance sometimes. I know I have, as I look back on my career and the rest. It's important to pay attention to that. The meaning we're all going to get out of life, which is proven over and over again, Pew Research and everything else suggests that the biggest meaning of whether or not Scott Mordell mattered when I'm able to look back, if I can at some point, is what was the impact on the people that I love the most, okay? And so in that sense, being conscious of who we care about, are we connected to them? It's not always about the amount of time. It's about the amount of connection. Have I had moments with the people that matter to me the most? Am I staying connected? And technology and the lifestyles we have today really enable us more opportunity to do those kinds of things than my parents had, parenting us in the 70s and the rest. And so it's really, how do you stay connected with the people that matter most? And it's a little bit different for everybody that matters to you.
Well, so interesting, because you and I share that same philosophy, and I know my listeners know that. I take a daily inventory of my values, not looking for balance, but just looking for what personal experiential giving and receiving values I want for today. And in fact, my father, when I was 30, gave me a jacket with no pockets, and I was insulted by it because he said, it's to remind you, you're just like me and I'm worried about you. So it's not to wear, it's to be buried in. So you can't take anything with you when you're gone. And I want you to look at that jacket every day. But what it forced me to do was to take that inventory every day of my personal experience with giving and receiving, and give up this facade of I'm going to live balanced. The other thing that you brought up, I just want to reiterate for my listeners, is I spend a minimum amount of time with my family every day. So 30 minutes via technology a lot of times, but 30 minutes with my wife, 30 minutes with my 9-year-old, 2 minutes with the teenage daughters, and 1 minute with my mom. That hour a day approximately has changed my entire life. And it wasn't, available to me when I first started working and traveling the world. And it's such a pleasure. I'm going to transition by those values, because we're obviously faced with a unique challenge. I call it a re-engineering and a repurposing. Other people might call it a crisis. I don't believe in that at all. I believe in lessons, and there's great lessons in innovation and opportunity in what we're doing. I thought there'd be no better person that I could talk to and to try to get some ideas. I shed from the word advice, because people get nervous when we become an advisor and expertise. So I just was wondering if you wouldn't mind sharing some ideas, leveraging the 29,000 members and experience that you have, when things like this occur, a repurposing and a reengineering that we've never seen before, that have worldwide effect. What are some things that you suggest we should look at, do, take advantage of in order to come out the other side, which this will pass, in a better position, believe it or not, than feeling as a victim, as many might come out and end up in a spiral?
Thank you for asking, because I also don't believe it's necessarily advice. It's really for all of us. We have the right points of view within us. It's really drawing them out and bringing them to the front of our point of view, okay? So actually, the CEOs and that we've been talking to about how they're coaching each other relative to things, there's some real important points of view. First of all, stay calm, okay? Take a breath. This will pass, but you think better when you're calm and you're not panicking, okay? Work out of facts. Yes, we all have, you're going to hear opinions, you're going to hear rumors, but build your own gut based on the facts and your own experience that you can put together based on what you can rely upon. Particularly important as we take a look. And keep seeing the long term. It's easy to get locked into the immediacy crisis and what happened in the last hour and how many cases came up since noon and, oh my gosh, I'm in Illinois, what happens? You know what? We know the cases are going to grow for a period of time. So what are you seeing past that? What do you need to do to be successful in the long term and work in the short term? Also, take care of the people around you. It really is about the people. No matter how good of a leader or worker you may think you are, you're interconnected. Your work only matters because there's other people who benefit from it or who actually contribute to it. So are you taking care of other people? Do you have some compassion to recognize that wherever you are mentally, somebody else may be someplace else? Will you listen to them? And that's all part of staying calm and start trying to stay measured as you go. And then finally, embrace the crisis, okay? Embrace the change, because necessity is the mother of invention, okay? And creativity comes when it's needed, all right? And here, when we're dealing with a big disruption, there's opportunity in that disruption, personally and within, but also organizationally. And can we start to see those things? So those are the recurring themes I'm hearing as we go around. And everybody locks on to a different one. But what's interesting is most everybody locks on to at least a couple of those. And if that's your bellwether, it really does help one get through.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And then as far as executive goes, I know personally my biggest failure was not asking for help. And I look at YPO and I say to myself, you know, Jeff Jacobs and others were members and I was friends with them and I would speak at those events. But I was so arrogant and egotistical because I didn't feel like I needed mentorship, because in my mind, I was Midas. And it was, you know, if anyone doesn't know the value of YPO, I will tell you that if I was a member of YPO, when I lost over $100 million, I wouldn't have lost the money, because I would have had a community to support me, ask for help from, have relationship capital of people that have been in the situation that I was in, and to understand the financial movement that needed to be done. But instead, my ego got in my own way. And I want to have you on here because I think beyond the expertise that lies within your organization, the community of YPO is so important, not just for the people in it today, but people outside that can utilize that network in order to effectuate advice, mentorship, business, relationship capital, innovation, and all of these things. How can people outside of YPO utilize your organization and wisdom and education or content in order to effectuate helping them through this period of time?
Oh, thank you for asking. We're posting much of our content and our experience on YPO.org. So everybody's doing some kind of communication, and the rest of that's digital and the rest. But beyond that, what I'm finding is that YPO members are very giving of their own experience. And the key is to engage them and ask what they've learned. We're used to asking that question of ourselves within our YPO interactions. And it feels very natural when we get asked those questions outside of our YPO interactions. So we're encouraging people to take the stuff that makes things trustworthy and authentic in YPO, like YPO Forum and the rest of that stuff. We're encouraging members to take that outside of YPO and engage their companies, engage the people that they work with on topics like that. So we're all in this together. YPO is a network and it's a community, but every one of those 29,000 CEOs, they've got bigger networks and communities of people who are not in YPO.
So the forums will be utilized for people outside of YPO?
There's things we learn, David, in forum about listening skills, conversation skills, trust building skills that actually work very well, whether it's an official YPO forum or actually just an interaction between people. So we're encouraging our members to take those into their businesses and share. And actually, trust and authenticity goes, it's universal in life. And we learned some skills about that. And the humility to take them on actually is what's going to make us all more effective, whether we're in YPO or not.
I think that's a great lesson that I've learned is radical humility. And you are an icon for humility. And I appreciate that. I'm going to end with one of my favorite questions, especially someone that has, you know, carried this torch of being a CEO of CEOs and, you know, so humble. But what legacy would you like to see YPO leave as an organization?
Thank you. I would like to see YPO members be recognized for doing well in their communities and in their companies and in their world. I'm not particularly looking for a legacy for YPO in and of itself. I think if we're truly about our members, we're truly about how they become better, then we need to be truly about what kind of impact they've left. And so if when my time is gone and somebody can say Scott was a YPO member and he did this in his community and these are the people that he's been able to touch, To me, that's the greatest measure of a life and ultimately a super measure of an organization. So I'd like to multiply that times hundreds of thousands of people have been in YPO since its original founding.
Well, you certainly are on your way, and I look forward to being of assistance and helping and being a part of all of the different things you have going on, because I am so impressed and excited about how YPO can change the world and help people make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun, which is my motto. And I look forward to getting to know you as well in person when all of this shall pass. So thank you so much for your time, Scott. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been truly a pleasure. My best to you and all of your listeners and everybody. And I look forward to seeing you again. Be well, my friend.
You will. This is Scott Mordell with Dave Meltzer, Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of The Playbook. But more importantly, I want you to join my text community. I'm doing a lot of fun things there. One-on-one conversations, trainings, giveaways. And it's the first place I release all the information that I'm giving. So join me at my text platform, 949-298-2905. That's 949-298-2905. Join my exclusive community.